Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Said he was at the Greyhound bus station, and that's the last known contact anybody's had with him.
I feel like if he didn't do anything, he's good at looking suspicious.
It's unbelievable how they treated us.
To this day, I've never gotten a call back from the Austin Police Department, and they've never responded to my emails.
Hello, and welcome to episode 80 of The Vanished. 25-year-old Tyler Rothmeyer left Des Moines, Iowa, and arrived in Austin, Texas on February 8, 2016. He called his best friend from the bus station that day, and that's the last time that anyone heard from him. Tyler's case spans three states, but none of the law enforcement agencies are willing to look for him. This has left his mom and his best friend searching for him without any law enforcement resources. Was Tyler the victim of an abusive ex-boyfriend, or could he have met the wrong stranger online? This is Tyler's story.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
I was contacted several months ago by Tyler's best friend Taylor about covering his disappearance on the show. She's been searching for Tyler with little to no assistance from law enforcement. Tyler's case appears to be low on the priority list for law enforcement because they have no physical proof that a crime has been committed, and he was also a gay man living somewhat of a transient lifestyle. Tyler had moved back and forth between Iowa and Texas, so each jurisdiction thinks the other one should be handling his case. This has left his friend Taylor and mom Amy feeling helpless at times and left to use their own limited resources to search for him. Their hope now is that by turning to you, the public, that maybe somebody will come forward with a lead. I spoke to Tyler's mom, Amy, who gave me a little bit of background on him.
Tyler is a good kid. He was an only child for a few years, and he stayed with my dad. And growing up, I knew that he was a homosexual, and it came out later on that he was. Of course, we loved him just as much, but you know, he hid a lot of things, and he was a hairstylist. He went to Aveda for cosmetology, and he was in the top of his class. He was a natural. He was a color specialist, and everybody loved Tyler. He was a social butterfly.
I also spoke to Tyler's best friend, Taylor. She met Tyler back in 2001 when they were both in the sixth grade. Taylor moved away after sixth grade, but the two kept in touch because they had bonded over their own personal struggles and helped one another get through some tough times. When Tyler was old enough to get his license, he and Taylor were able to spend more time together, and they even lived together for some time. They were very close, and even if they went a period of time without seeing each other, they always got back in touch.
I mean, Tyler and I, you know, I moved about 40 minutes away from Ankeny to Waukee, Iowa after sixth grade. And I went about 5 years without seeing Tyler, but we talked on the phone all the time. You know, I grew up in an abusive home, and Tyler was the only person I really had to talk to. Like, we have a bond, and we don't you know, before RC, we didn't have secrets from each other.
In 2013, Tyler started dating an older man named RC.
I think they met at a gay bar in Des Moines. And I had another friend tell me that, you know, RC used to buy him drinks and he would not accept them, that he was weirded out by him.
From the start, Taylor felt like something was off with their relationship.
It was off from the first time I met the boyfriend. I first met him, you know, they came down here. They were going to spend Christmas with me in December 2013. I think they had been dating for a few months before that. And it wasn't the age difference that made their relationship weird, because Tyler was always into older men. It was his demeanor. I almost felt like he was embarrassed by Tyler. It seemed sort of like Tyler was an out gay man and RC was not. And Tyler likes to be the center of attention and he's loud.
Tyler's mom, Amy, told me about the time she met RC and how her relationship with Tyler began to change after they started dating.
He had met this guy, RC is what he called him. And, you know, he was in love. He thought he was in love. And RC was older than him. One day they came, when I first met him, they came to pick me up and we went to the casino here in our hometown. And they, you know, RC was real nice. He gave me some money to gamble and we had a good day. But that was the last time, I mean, the only time that we actually hung out or did anything. Actually, the only time I met him, because after that, Tyler just would barely call me or anything. So I knew, I got the feeling that RC was kind of controlling and Tyler was in love. So, you know, I thought, he seemed like a successful person. So I didn't really worry too much. I thought, okay, he's taking care of Tyler and, you know, all that. So then Tyler told me a couple months later that he was moving to Texas. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I didn't want him to go. I told him I didn't want him to go, but he said his friend Taylor lived there and him and RC were moving. So that was that.
In the spring of 2014, Tyler called Taylor and said that he had gotten a DUI. Because of this DUI, he and RC decided to move from Iowa to Texas. Taylor thought this was odd because with a DUI, while serious, you aren't usually facing major consequences for the first offense. RC has a child, and she found it strange that a parent would essentially go on the run with someone over a DUI.
Yeah, that was something I didn't understand. It was like, you know, why would you want to move so far away from your kid with someone who's 21 years younger than you, you know, to run away from a DUI? I mean, that was red flags for me.
When Tyler and RC moved to Texas, Taylor didn't see him. They only interacted via Facebook and text messages, with an occasional phone conversation. Taylor began getting the impression that RC was controlling Tyler and not allowing him to have other friendships. Tyler's mom didn't hear much from him during this time period either.
When he moved, I only heard from him that year. It was 2015. I heard from him just a couple times. He didn't call me on Mother's Day, but he called me a couple days after Mother's Day. And then, you know, so it was okay. And then, you know, I only heard from him a couple times more during that whole year up until Thanksgiving time, when he called me and he said that he had gotten away from RC and that he was coming home. He wanted to come home and needed money to get here. And so I talked to my brother and we got him a bus ticket and he came back. He came back to Iowa from Texas.
In the fall of 2015, Taylor learned that RC's behavior was far worse than just controlling Tyler's friendships and had become physically abusive.
He had called me in November of 2015 and after I hadn't talked to him in a few months, and that was odd. And I even reached out to his friend Brianne, who I'm also friends with, and she hadn't heard from him either. So we were worried, and then in November, it was like the week before Thanksgiving, he called me and told me that RC had beaten him up and he needed me to come get him. And he said he wasn't in immediate danger. He said I could wait until I got off work. So he was supposed to call me back at 4:30 and he didn't. And so I Googled the phone number he called me from, and it was the Wingate Hotel in Round Rock. So I went up there, and I didn't know his boyfriend's real name. All I knew was RC. So I asked if there was someone staying there with the last name Rothmeyer, and, you know, if he recognized Tyler's picture, and he didn't. So then I went up to Jason's Deli, where Tyler told me he had been working. And I went there like the next few nights hoping to see him, and I didn't. So eventually I called, and they said, there's not a Tyler working here. And then someone in the background said, that's Leo. And I found out that Tyler had been telling people his name was Leo. And then a few days after that, he called me again. This time it was from the Red Roof Inn in Round Rock. And I went there immediately and I got him because he said that RC had beaten him up again. When I got there, I didn't really recognize him. He was notably thinner. Tyler was always thin, but, you know, it was kind of shocking. His, like, chin was swollen and his gums were bleeding and purple. And, you know, I asked him, like, Tyler, like, why didn't you call me? And because all those months, you know, without talking to him, and he told me, you know, he checked in with his mom, and he told me that RC would do things like bring food back to the room and not let him have any, like McDonald's. Tyler wanted me to take him to McDonald's. And I imagine, like, if you're starving and you have to smell McDonald's fries, that sucks. And then he told me that he was involved in some prostitution. And at first he minimized it to me, you know, like it was only a few times, and then maybe it was like a dozen times. And I could tell that this guy, like, had a lot of control over Tyler. And our plan was that he would stay with me until Friday when he got his last check from the deli. And then he would get a bus ticket and go back to Iowa. But on the Saturday after he got his check, because when he first got the check, he didn't want to buy a bus ticket. He, like, bought a phone and some other things he needed. And then the Saturday after that, when I went to go get a Christmas tree, he left.
While Taylor was out buying a Christmas tree, Tyler left and went back to RC. He did end up getting his uncle to purchase him a bus ticket back to Iowa, though. Taylor met up with him one last time to say goodbye before he left Texas. When Tyler got back to Iowa, he also told his mom about the abuse.
It was a couple of days after Thanksgiving, actually, when he got here. And he said that RC had became abusive and he had broken a finger. He said he's glad he got away from him when he did, or he'd have winded up dead. He said that. And then later I found out several friends of his even had text messages saying that. They still had the messages referring that, you know, Tyler was referring to him dying or being murdered by RC. But he was here for December, all of December. He spent Christmas here up until the end of January.
While Tyler was back in Iowa and away from RC, he started talking with Taylor more frequently like they used to before he had started dating RC. He was also working on clearing up that DUI charge that he had initially run from.
So I believe his uncle had gotten him a lawyer, or they worked out some deal where he was supposed to do 10 days in jail in February. And while Tyler was back in Iowa, like, we talked just like before. And I think it was the end of January, beginning of February, he called me excited, saying that he was going to come back to Texas for a week before he had to go to jail.
Tyler's mom, Amy, told me about the last time she spoke to him.
In January, I could tell he was really irritable. He was kind of being sneaky on the computer. I knew he was talking to RC, emailing him or whatever you have. And then at the end of January, we got in a big argument about nothing. I don't even remember exactly what it was about. And he stormed off and took off out the door. It was snowy here in Iowa. It was snowy and cold, and he left. And that's the last time I saw him or talked to him.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
After this argument with his mom, Tyler made his way back to Austin, Texas on a Greyhound bus. He got there on February 8, 2016, and called Taylor.
February 8, 2016. We talked three times that day. And the last time I talked to him, he was leaving the bus station and he was like all excited. He said, you know, we're going to hang out this week. But I was annoyed with him because Tyler only really knows two people here, and that's RC and myself. And I live literally a mile from the bus station, and Tyler knows this, and he didn't call me to pick him up. And, you know, I didn't see RC pick him up, but I remember like being annoyed with him and telling him I was busy. And I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for, you know, my mindset at the time was, I'm not going to hang out with someone who starved you and beat you. And now, you know, I feel guilty because, you know, for saying that to him and telling him I was busy, I didn't know that was going to be the last time I talked to him. And through the past, you know, almost a year after that, you know, after I didn't talk to Tyler, it didn't surprise me. I thought he was, you know, back with RC and that he wasn't allowed to talk to me. I would reassure myself that he called his mom, and if he needed help, he would call me.
This is where Tyler vanishes. No one immediately realized that he was missing. They'd seen him go through the cycle of abuse with RC in the past and figured that he just wasn't allowing Tyler to reach out to them. As the months went by, Amy started to feel that something wasn't right, and she repeatedly made attempts to contact Tyler on social media.
When I realized something was wrong was on March 9th, I posted on Facebook asking him to call me, and I didn't hear from him. I hadn't sent him any messages before that because we did get in that argument when he left here. But, you know, and I figured I'd give him some time, and by then, normally, he would have always called me or got a hold of me. And on March 9th, I had posted on Facebook asking him to call me, didn't hear from him. On his 26th birthday, August 18th of 2016, I asked him, I said happy birthday on his Facebook and asked him to call me again. Didn't hear from him. On November 23rd, I posted to his Facebook, anyone who has had any contact with him, with Tyler, please message me or get a hold of me. And when I didn't hear from him at Thanksgiving and then at Christmas, I knew in my gut something had happened. And then Saturday, January 7th, 2017, Taylor saw my post from back in November and called me. And then we realized neither one of us had heard from him since February 2016. When he didn't call it Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, growing up, I mean, we had big Christmases and it was family time, you know, and that's when the year before, that's when he had said, forget this crap, I'm going home, and actually reached out so we'd send him the ticket or whatever. I was just sick on both days, first on Thanksgiving and then sicker on Christmas. He has a new niece. He had, you know, had a new niece at the time and that he loved to death and just, I mean, just everything. There's no way he would not call by then.
Taylor told me about how she came to the realization that no one had heard from Tyler for almost a year.
It wasn't until Saturday, January 7th, 2017, that I saw a message his mother had left on his old Facebook page that, you know, I haven't heard from Tyler. If I don't hear from him within the next week, I'm going to go file a missing persons report. And when I saw that, I just got sick because I felt so bad that I hadn't, like, gone up to Round Rock and looked for him.
At this point, about 11 months had gone by between the time that Taylor had last heard from him when he was at the bus station in Austin on February 8th, 2016, and when Taylor and Amy connected on January 7th, 2017. Amy was able to file a missing persons report in Des Moines, Iowa.
It was tough to even file the missing person report because, you know, last known place was Texas. I live in Iowa, and I didn't know what to do. And so on Tuesday, January 10th, I filed a missing persons report with Des Moines Police Detective Lori Kelly. And she said, there's no sign of foul play. And I said, well, he hasn't even checked any Facebook messages since February of the year before, and, you know, no social media. He was a Facebook junkie and there's no activity. He hasn't even opened messages. They wouldn't do anything. When I tried to get dental records from the dentist because of the HIPAA laws, I called her and I said, can you send them a fax or request them to release them? And she wouldn't even do that. So we still haven't done that to this day.
One of the major problems with Tyler's case is that there isn't much that the police in Iowa can do when he was last known to be in Texas. Taylor has tried to get the police in Texas involved, but they won't take a missing persons report for Tyler.
One of them told me that we didn't even have enough to file a missing persons report. And later on, I ended up having to talk to the FBI because someone called claiming to be in control of Tyler and wanting a ransom. And the FBI, when I told the FBI, you know, Round Rock said that we wouldn't even have enough to file one there. They said that no bank account activity, like his ID has expired now, so he doesn't have a valid ID. No bank account activity, no social media activity, not talking to anyone that he loves or cares about wasn't enough. And then that woman I spoke with at the FBI said, well, what else would you need? And I said, exactly. To this day, I've never gotten a call back from the Austin Police Department, and they've never responded to my emails.
Taylor and Amy came to the realization that they weren't going to be getting the help they desperately needed from law enforcement and started brainstorming ways that they could look for Tyler on their own. Taylor started looking into RC and learned that he had been working in a restaurant called Cheddar's in Texas, but had transferred to one in Albuquerque, New Mexico on April 6, 2016. This would have been just a couple of months after Taylor last spoke to Tyler in February. Taylor hasn't been able to find any ties that RC had to the Albuquerque area, so no one knows for sure why he went there after Tyler disappeared. Knowing that RC was in New Mexico gave them a little bit of hope that Tyler could be there too. Amy tried to get help from different law enforcement agencies to at least go and check to see if Tyler could be there.
I had told all three police departments, he's there. Can you go do a welfare check on my son? Can you go ask him where he's at? Anything. And they would not do it. I was actually considering driving from Des Moines, Iowa, where I live, to Albuquerque to go to RC's work and sit and wait till I got off work and follow him home to see if my son was with him, because nobody would help. And I knew that was the only way I was going to know, you know, and I couldn't get any police departments to even ask, do a welfare check on him. And I know he's a grown up, but still you'd think they could do a welfare check and nobody would help. And now we have no idea where he's at.
Since they couldn't get any help from law enforcement, Amy and Taylor came up with a plan to call RC at the Cheddar's in New Mexico.
And then on Sunday, January 15th, I asked Taylor to try and call Albuquerque Cheddar's, because when I talked to the police in Albuquerque, they suggested me calling RC and asking him if he knows where Tyler is. And, you know, at that point, I thought that was the only option. But I knew that we might only have one chance at calling. So I asked Taylor to call Albuquerque Cheddar's and ask, you know, to talk to RC. And since I knew it might be our only chance, I told her to tell RC that I had had a stroke and that it was an emergency that Tyler call home, that I may not make it. It wasn't good to lie to him, but, you know, I thought, I just knew that it was one time and I didn't know what he would do. But Taylor said RC, when she called him, she got a hold of him and said he was notably angry. He said that he hadn't talked to Tyler since before he came back to visit in Iowa in November 2015. And we both believe Tyler went back to Austin to visit him. So we knew he was lying, our gut. And he had told Taylor to try Colorado, because Tyler has a friend named Bree that lives there. And we've checked, he's not with her, obviously. But what was weird was, if the last place he knew Tyler went to was Iowa, why wouldn't he say try Iowa? So that was kind of weird. And I knew he was lying. And he kind of laughed when Taylor, you know, she said his mom has, and he said, what do you want me to do about it? You know, he was a real jerk about it. That was just a big red flag, number one.
Taylor told me about her conversation with RC.
Tyler's mom asked me to call up there and talk to him. And she told me to tell him that she had a stroke, which she didn't. So I called up there and I played nice. You know, I said that, hi, this is Taylor, Tyler's best friend. Do you remember me? He said, I don't understand why you're calling me. This is the second call I've gotten. He said he hadn't spoken with Tyler since he went back to Iowa. And I immediately knew that was a lie. And, you know, I told him, you know, I love Tyler. I just want to know that he's okay. Do you know where he is? And he said, I don't know, try Colorado. And he just made it clear that he was not going to cooperate at all. He was just like notably upset with me for calling him. And I thought that was odd.
One question that's nagged at Amy and Taylor is, if RC's not involved in Tyler's disappearance, why isn't he being more forthcoming?
And I think about that phone call a lot, and I've tried to put myself in his shoes. Like, I moved to Austin with a boyfriend from Iowa that I do not like at all. You know, he's my ex-boyfriend now. But if someone were to call me and tell me he was missing, I would be shocked and I would do what I could to help, even though I don't care for that person, you know, like if they had an ugly breakup. But if they had broken up, I believe I would have been Tyler's first call because he would have needed a place to stay.
Remember that Amy's in Iowa and Taylor's in Texas, so they couldn't just go check out the situation in New Mexico on their own. Taylor decided to hire a private investigator in New Mexico to look into RC.
As far as we know, it seems that he left Albuquerque, and I found out later that they get paid biweekly there. So I'm wondering if he got his last check and then just didn't show up again, because when he was supposed to come in on the 1st of February, he didn't. He didn't give anyone any notice. And I had hired a private investigator in February because I wanted him to follow him and, you know, question him, like get a feel for him. And that's when we found out that he was no longer working at the Cheddars. And they went around to the hotels because he doesn't sign leases. He hotel hops, which is also odd to me. I feel like, you know, maybe he's being investigated for something we don't know about, or maybe he's hiding from a process server, because I feel like he has a child that I believe is 15 years old. So I think he should be paying child support.
So after Taylor had spoken to RC, he left his job and fled the area. After that, RC drops off the radar and they haven't been able to locate him since. Taylor has tried to dig a little deeper into RC's background and found that he does have a long criminal history dating back as far as the late 1970s, with charges like assault with a weapon and drug possession. He's also deleted his social media accounts since Tyler's been missing. We know that the relationship between RC and Tyler had turned violent before, and if he's responsible for Tyler's disappearance, that violence could have gone too far. But Taylor told me another theory that she's considered.
I wonder if they were doing coke, you know, and Tyler went back to Iowa, maybe didn't do any drugs for a couple months, and then he came back here and did too much. Maybe he OD'd and RC panicked. I don't know.
One thing that I thought about was the prostitution that Tyler had mentioned to Taylor that he was involved in. I wondered if this was something that RC knew about. Had he been actively involved and possibly acting as a pimp? Or was this something that Tyler was doing secretly? We don't know the answer to these questions. Tyler never told anyone those details. That brings us to one of the other possible theories for what could have happened to Tyler. He had been using Craigslist and Grindr to hook up with people. Could he have met the wrong person?
Hate crimes and sex trafficking and everything. And he had talked to people on Craigslist and stuff too, and hooked up with a couple people. And that's kind of important too to mention, because maybe RC didn't do it. Maybe some weirdo picked him up. I don't know. RC's not the only person that could have. I mean, 95% chance, I think it is. But there's that other, you know, he was at the Greyhound bus station. Anybody could ask him for a ride. He could have answered it out on Craigslist. And, you know, there's sickos in the world.
Then there's the possibility that Tyler could have left on his own and is just not contacting anyone. Both Amy and Taylor think this is very unlikely. Tyler wouldn't go this long without contacting one of them. He was either with RC and only communicating with them occasionally, or when he was broken up with RC, he would be in contact with Amy and Taylor on a regular basis. One thing that could really help to pinpoint what may have happened to Tyler would be if they could access his social media accounts.
The Facebook would tell it all. I know the Facebook records would. And Taylor actually tried to, you know, to get into it, and she couldn't. So that's why it's really important when people should put down, because there's a place where you can, you know, if something happens to me, then this person can have my Facebook. It's important for people to do that, because that can tell. Facebook will tell a lot. I know it would. It would tell everything.
The problem is that since they haven't been able to figure out Tyler's password, they would need a warrant to get into his Facebook account. Law enforcement hasn't been willing to do this. They also haven't been willing to move forward with obtaining dental records or DNA from the family, so Tyler could be a John Doe somewhere and no one would know. Amy told me that due to HIPAA laws, the dentist requires a faxed authorization form from the police department to release his dental records. But the police department hasn't been willing to simply fill out a form and fax it over. Taylor told me some of the other things that she's done to try to spread awareness about Tyler's disappearance.
I post a lot of Craigslist ads. I've been posting them in Round Rock, Austin, Albuquerque, and Las Vegas because the only clue we have about RC is that he told people at both the Cheddars here in Texas and in Albuquerque that he wanted to live in Las Vegas. I put up a lot of flyers too. I had a social worker friend I contacted and asked him to get to try and help me get it out to people who work with the homeless. Because at one point I got a tip from someone over a Craigslist ad that someone that looked like him was in a homeless shelter. And then I later found this person on Facebook and they told me it was not him, that they were wrong. But I've gone and I've put flyers around the homeless shelters, you know, 6th Street, which is popular here in Austin, around the gay bars. And I feel like it's sort of made its way around the gay community in Austin because I've seen on Facebook where someone are like, oh, I saw that guy on Craigslist.
Taylor did get one small tip from a bartender at a gay bar in Austin called About Time 2. Tyler and RC had been regulars there, and at some point, RC came in alone and mentioned to the bartender that the two had broken up. Unfortunately, the bartender didn't remember when this had happened. One hurdle that she's run into is that RC was so controlling that it seems like Tyler didn't really have any other people that he hung out with.
I found people that he worked with at Ulta, and they all seem like acquaintances. No one really hung out with him outside of work, and I don't believe that his boyfriend would have allowed it.
Taylor briefly mentioned a ransom call earlier in the episode. Now, we know that this has happened to other families of the missing. There are bad people out there who are looking to make money off of families who are desperate to find their missing loved ones. The communication started on Facebook between Amy and a profile with the name Philip Michael. Amy initially wondered if it could have been RC under a fake profile looking for information, or possibly even that it could be Tyler, so she went ahead and added the profile as a friend. They tried to call Amy, but she missed the call, and when she called back, they didn't answer. Taylor tried calling the number, and a man with an Asian accent answered the phone. He told her that they would give her Tyler if she gave him what he wanted. Taylor requested to either speak to Tyler or to tell her something that only Tyler would know. The man refused and again told her to give him what he wanted. When she asked how to do that, he told her she wasn't ready and hung up. A few minutes later, she got a call back and she could hear a man crying, saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Since the man was crying, she couldn't tell if it was Tyler or not. The other man got on the phone and demanded that she give him what he wanted. She agreed, but again asked to speak to Tyler, so the man hung up. They later texted Amy's phone number with a bank account number to send money to. Of course, they called to report this to the police. The Des Moines Police Department was not interested in investigating this call. Taylor even reached out to the FBI, who suggested that it was most likely a hoax. Both Amy and Taylor expressed to me that they wish law enforcement would at least look into this and rule it out. Even if it is a hoax, shouldn't there be some kind of effort put forth to stop these kinds of scams? As Tyler's case sits today, the Des Moines Police Department says they can't investigate the case because he disappeared in Texas. The Austin police have said that they can't investigate his case because he was reported missing in Iowa. The investigator in Des Moines told Taylor that she would call the Austin Police Department and see if she could get a detective there to look into his case. It's been a couple of months and no one's contacted Taylor or returned her emails. So what happened to Tyler on February 8th, 2016? Is his ex-boyfriend RC involved, or did he meet the wrong person online? Or is it something else altogether? This is where I leave this case with all of you who are listening. I know there's a lot of you who tune in the Austin area. Someone had to have seen Tyler at the bus station on February 8th. Maybe you even rode the bus with him. Maybe you didn't know Tyler, but you knew RC. They currently have no idea where RC is, so that's another piece of information that they're looking for. If you have any information about the disappearance of Tyler Rothmeyer, You can text anonymous tips to 515-344-6509 or call 515-520-5399. You can also send a message on Facebook through the community that's called Where is Tyler? At the time of Tyler's disappearance, he was 6 feet tall and weighed between 130 and 150 pounds. He had blue eyes and his hair was naturally blonde or light brown, but he was also known to dye his hair. He speaks with a higher pitched, more feminine voice and is extremely friendly. Taylor said that he would often compliment women in public about their hair since he was a cosmetologist. Taylor also asked me to clarify one thing for the audience. Apparently, people have asked her if Tyler could be living as a woman, but she said he had no interest in being transgender. I guess that maybe that's a common misconception that some people have. Also remember that Tyler has used the name Leo in the past. That brings us to the end of episode 80. I would like to thank Taylor and Amy for taking the time to speak with me and all of you for listening. If you'd like to contact me, I'm on Facebook where there's a page and a group. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod, and on Instagram you can find me under The Vanished Podcast, all one word. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. Join me next week, I'll be discussing a case from California.
I know Tyler would have called. He would, even if he couldn't do it when RC was around, he had like 12 hours a day to go to a neighbor or to a store or anywhere to get on the computer and contact me. He did that a few times, you know, the year before. Whenever I talked to him, RC was at work and he was using, they were staying at a extend a stay type hotel. And he was using their computer. I mean, I know if he had that many hours to himself, there's no way he wouldn't have contacted us.
I think that this RC is involved in why Tyler has disappeared, but there's this other part where I believe Tyler was involved in some prostitution. And he could have met the wrong person off of Craigslist or Grindr.
I mean, I've told them that, you know, his friends have actual text messages from Tyler and Facebook messages saying that, you know, he broke his finger. He was really abusive. He fattened his lip. And Taylor was a witness to that. And several different people, I mean, that I talked to, and they don't care. they've done nothing. They're not treating it as that at all. We almost had them talked into taking it as a missing person, you know, to take it serious. And I mean, the cop that we talked to was almost, I mean, he even made a phone call to the Albuquerque Cheddars. But RC wasn't working that day. And then after that, he wouldn't do anything. He actually did make a call, and then that was it. He didn't call back. He didn't. After that, they didn't want to help us.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.